this book is about a young guy, unique on the planet, who was born and raised in a North Korean prison camp, a North Korean labor camp, and escaped to the West.
Nobody else has escaped.
Nobody else born and raised in the camps has escaped.
How did he get from that to you writing a book about him?
Well, I encountered him in December 2008. He was down on his luck, living in Seoul, running out of money, and worried that he may have to go live in a train station. And I had lunch with him, and it was the most amazing lunch. And we were talking about his story. And part of the horror of his life is that he was there when his mother and brother were killed in the camp. They were executed in front of him. His mother was hanged as he watched. And when she was hanged, she tried to catch his eye to say that she was sorry for the things that he'd endured in the camp. And he refused to catch her eye as he watched her die. And he said that he hated his mother and he was glad that she died. And he told me this at our first meeting. And for me, I had no context for talking to this kind of person. I just couldn't understand what planet he was from. So I wrote a piece that was on the front page of the Washington Post that got a huge reaction in a way that newspaper stories almost never do. People really felt for this guy. They cared about him. They wanted to know more. And from that response, I went back to him and asked if he wanted to do a book. And he said no. And he continued to say no for 9 more months until human rights groups persuaded him to do it.
Reading the book, there are many passages where you kind of insinuate or reveal that he's an interesting character. He's stretched the truth a couple of times, but psychologically, he still bears the scars of what the way he was raised.
He did not know right and wrong really as concepts until he was 23 years old, until he escaped from the camp. He was raised by the guards. He was bred by the guards who chose his parents and who gave him his values. He was raised to snitch on his parents, on his classmates, on anyone. And the more he snitched, the more he ate. He was raised to be a disposable slave, to be worked to death in the camp. And the only way you can survive in that camp is by eating as much as possible to put up with the hardships and the illnesses and the abuse. And he was very good at that. And that's why he survived to the age of 23.
Where is he now and what has become of him?
Well, the story is much happier as time goes by. When I ended the book, I wasn't sure what direction he was going to go in. But he's really done well. He moved back to Seoul. He lived in the United States for about 2 years. And it didn't work out great. He didn't learn English. He didn't go to school. He didn't get psychotherapy. All of the things that people who care about him wanted for him. But he went back to Seoul in the summer of last year, and he founded an NGO, a group that is working for freedom for people in North Korea called Inside NK. And he does what we're doing, basically. He talks to other people on a web broadcast, which is you can see on YouTube now. It has subtitles in English. And he does interviews. It's not about him so much. It's about North Korea. And it's given him poise and a reason to be. And he is much more articulate. And as a public speaker in Korean, he is actually extraordinarily good now. He's extremely bright. I don't think it's an accident that he is the only person born and bred to get out. These camps have existed for more than half a century, twice as long as Stalin's gulag. And he's the only one born and bred to get out. And part of it is because he's really smart.
But North Korea denies these camps exist. What's North Korea's reaction been? Or what's the world reaction been to this book?
Well, the world reaction has been surprisingly good. I told Shin, as all writers tell their subjects, that if you cooperate with this book, great things will happen. And I believed it, or I convinced myself that I believed it. I believed that his story was so dramatic, so cinematic to read, that it would tell Americans particularly something they did not know, is that these camps have existed for 50 years. They are a human rights horror. And we should think about human rights whenever we think about North Korea. I told him if he participated in this book, that would happen. And to a certain extent, it has happened. The book was a bestseller in the United States. It's being published now in 20 languages around the world, and it's been a bestseller in 4 or 5 countries, and it's still being rolled out. We're just back from our second European tour, Shin and I. So that's been great, and that's been great for his self-confidence, too. He feels validated. When he first came out and told his story in South Korea, the South Koreans really didn't pay any attention, and he felt like it made him feel awful that he went through so much and that no one cared, even though he, by 2 years after he was out, he realized that he was the only person of his kind around, but still no one cared. And now people are paying attention. All across Europe, he is front page news when he enters the country. So it's been great for him. And I think it will give him a better life in the sense that he has more self-confidence. So those are the two things that have happened.
What about, you know, the kind of international attention among governments and additional pressure on North Korea?
Well, there's been good news on that front, too. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has mentioned Shin by name, singled him out at the Holocaust Museum in Washington this summer as a champion of human rights in North Korea. The former chief prosecutor of Slobodan Milosevic in the Hague war crime trials has called for an investigation and of the camps by the UN Security Council. The Washington Post and The Economist have both called for basically the same thing. And interestingly, The Economist did something that I was very pleased to see. It said that we as civilized people need to stop making fun of North Korea, finding humor in the behavior of its leaders, who they described as extraterrestrial freaks, and focus on the cruelty of the place rather than the humor, you know, the Jon Stewart Daily Show take on whoever's leading the country, is stop that nonsense and focus on the cruelty. And that has been a theme of a lot of the media coverage. And the book has been excerpted in most of the world's most important newspapers, Wall Street Journal, Atlantic. It was read, it was summarized and read on the BBC as a dramatic production, Le Monde, Der Spiegel. So it has gotten real traction.
How's that been for you to watch this kind of take on a life of its own?
Well, it's been wonderful. Wonderfully exciting because I left the Washington Post just as I started the writing of this book. And, you know, working for the Washington Post, you're not supposed to really be committed to anything. You're supposed to try to be fair and objective, not get emotionally involved. But, you know, the human rights issue in North Korea seems to me that it's one thing that you can be against torture and breeding child slaves. It seems like that's something you could step out and say, this is wrong. So I'm really happy in that sense.
And you're going to be on 60 Minutes. How did that come about?
Well, 60 Minutes wanted to do this piece for a long time, and they finally got approval from their top editors to do it. The piece hasn't been aired yet and hasn't been scheduled yet, so I don't exactly know when it's going to be.
But it's been shot.
It's been shot.
Okay.
With Shin in South Korea and in Columbus, Ohio, with an American family that adopted Shin and actually brought him to the United States in 2009 and has tried to help him in many ways and has. So they were included in the shoot. What 60 Minutes is going to do with it, I just don't know at this point.
But I would imagine you have an expectation this is going to draw even more attention to the North Korean issue.
Oh, yeah. That's the hope. The hope is that when Americans think of North Korea, they'll think of Shin. And that they're right today, there are kids like him growing up as slaves and as snitches who are quite willing to betray their own mother to get more food.
So what do you do next? Does this just occupy your time full time for the time being?
Well, it is, and I'm very happy about that. The only thing worse than having no time is to write a book and nobody cares. Which I've written two other books, and they weren't utter failures, but I didn't get a lot of people asking me to travel around the world and talk about it.
Well, I read them. They were good books.
Well, but this I continued to travel. I mean, I just got back last night from New Hampshire, where a prep school out there, the entire school and faculty had read the book. Wow. And were basically talking in their classrooms for the past 2 weeks about what it means to be a human being. Can you be a human being if you don't know right and wrong until you're 23 years old? And it's a very interesting question. It's one that engages a lot of readers who are interested in North Korea, but who are also interested in what is a man if he doesn't have any fellow feeling for his mother or his brother, and comes to guilt sort of as in an ex post facto way, as Shin has.
Well put. Anything else? Anything else that we didn't touch on? Me interviewing you, this is obviously a highlight. It's better than K-Zag. Obviously, the hook's going to be, that you're going to be on 60 Minutes,
yeah.
And we're going to
probably
going to hold off on this until we know it's going to it's going to be coming up.
One thing that's fantastic about Shin's story is that it is like a movie, and we have signed an option for a Hollywood movie, and that usually means nothing, but it's a possibility, and I think that your listeners should know that one of the most cinematic scenes of Shin's life, and a key to his being able to tell his story, is that he tried to escape with another guy who told him that the outside world existed, told him that the world was round, and that if he got out of there, he could go to China and eat grilled meat. And it was the idea of grilled meat that motivated Shin to risk almost certain death by trying to escape. And one cold night in January 2nd, 2005, just as dusk came on, they ran for the electrified fence that surround the camp. And the guy who had told him about the outside world, who was to be his Mr. Outside once they got outside the fence, because this man named Park had grown up outside the camp and knew what it was like out there, he ran and got to the fence first and shoved his torso through the first and second strands of the electrified fence and was electrocuted. The weight of his body pulled down that bottom wire, grounded out the fence. Shin crawled over his body to freedom. He ran off into the night. The only problem was that he didn't know where to go. And yet 30 days later, he walked out of North Korea. About a year later, he was in South Korea. And a year after that, he was living in Southern California. It's an amazing story.
Has it changed you?
Well, it's changed me in as much as I really want to write books for a living. I've given up on newspapers.
Everybody else.
I'm searching for another story like that. And, I may never find one. And this story journalism is really 90% luck. And finding him, getting him to cooperate, and then being able to execute the story is something that's just been great.